bring in our weekly insider from Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada and 31 Thoughts. He is Elliot Friedman. Hello, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay. What a difference a week makes, because last week we had you on, it was a lot of rah, 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 and how high can the Canucks go, and now we're a week later and they've lost four games in a row, and they could really use a win tonight against the Nashville Predators.
Won't be easy.
When a team is losing games, we talk a lot about process, and
yeah.
And as a team goes through adversity, Sad always brings up the point, okay, are you abandoning the game plan? Like, we're not even looking at wins and losses right now. Are you still doing the right things? Anything stand out to you in this mini slide with the Canucks so far?
Well, the one thing I always believe in is that when you're on a winning streak, you probably have, how many games in that winning streak do you think you're outplayed, but you win because your goaltending is good or you get fluke bounces? Like, when you guys were on a tear, how many games do you guys, of those wins, were you guys getting outplayed in?
Well, this year, not as many, which was confident building, yeah.
You wouldn't look at those, too many of those games and said, we were lucky, all right? Now, in this losing streak, how many games have you looked at and said, they should have won that one?
Half, couple, yep.
It's not bad. Like, if you lose four and you say we could have won two of them, then you're probably saying, okay, you know, we're all right here. Like, I look at your goaltending. I think for the most part, your goaltending has been pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm. And Demko starts tonight.
Like, I think your goaltending has been pretty good. I mean, that's your number one constant. Like, I look at New Jersey, and New Jersey is a team that has looked like they're about ready to start winning a few games in a row, and they can't do it. And I think that has a lot to do with goaltending. So when I look at that, that's the number one thing I look at. How good is your goaltending? Yours is pretty good, so I don't generally freak out about that stuff. Like, other things that, you know, you guys kind of do that worry me, I don't know. Is there anything that really strikes you about your group that you take a look at and say, boy, that's a real problem?
The one for me is mostly to do with that second line. And Bo Horvat has been, you know, he's been good at, on the power play. Eddie Mastrangt hasn't really gotten going yet. And we keep trying to find who is an ideal winger for Bo Horvat. JT Miller gets a chance to play with him after being incredible with Pettersson and Brock Besser. And if I'm the Canucks, like, maybe that's still the biggest question mark. Do you have enough scoring on that second line to consistently put the puck in the net?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, I understand that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere down the road you guys look at that, okay? Especially if, you know, Ferland can't play. Like, I mean, to me, that's a big question. Like, Ferland concussions, you never really know how to predict them. Nobody can answer when you're healthy, when you're not healthy, when you can come back. And when Ferland's ready to play, you know, how confident is he going to be to do some of the things that he likes to do or he needs to do? So to me, that is a big question from your future. Other than that, like, you know, like, I got to tell you, like, your fourth lines, third and fourth line, are they getting caved?
Not like they used to in the past.
Exactly. They're not getting, like, your third and fourth line are not getting caved. That's a big deal, okay? You know, I think that they look pretty good. I think they look really solid. I think, you know, look, I'm looking at the last couple of goalies you played against. Crawford, big game. Hellebuck, big game. Blackwood, big game. Binnington, big game. Like, you know, is it because you guys were too easy on them? No, you had, what, 35 shots in every one of those games, right? Or right around there. Like, I don't look at this and say, I would be panicking. You're getting caved in all around the ice, and you're going to be losing. So I mean, look, you're not putting the puck in the net. That's a big deal. Horvat's not generating offense 5-on-5. That's a big deal. You know, I heard his quotes at the end of the game the other night. He's got to do that, absolutely. But I don't look at the way you guys have played and said, boy, this is a real big problem. It looks like it's going to lead to a long losing streak.
Elliot Friedman, our guest on the program, Andrew Walker and Satyar Shah. You brought up Ferland, they're missing a top six forward right now. It really feels that way. Now, Ferland was supposed to be that guy, I think, and we all kind of liked the deal, but that was the risk, right? It was the concussion history, it was the injuries. Hindsight's 20/20. What do you remember about the scuttlebutt surrounding Ferland this offseason? Did a lot of teams were a lot of teams scared off because of this very situation?
I think the risk that you guys took that other teams were not willing to take was the fourth year. Like that's what got you guys the player. I think there was a lot of interest in Ferland, And, you know, I thought he made what I thought was a pretty smart play, or his agent made what was a pretty smart play, and that was he held until he got the fourth year. And I think there were a couple of teams that were really weighing it, but you guys were the ones who made the plunge. And, you know, I think that was the difference between you and everybody else. You decided, you know what, we want the player, we gave him the fourth year. And so I guess the best way to answer it, Andrew, was I think there was a lot of interest. I think you guys were willing to take a step to get the player that other teams weren't willing to do.
Elliot Friedman joins us for Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view is better from here.
But I should say, yep. I also believe he was healthy when you signed him. Like the idea that he was damaged goods, I've heard that thrown around.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for a second, but I think everybody understood the risk.
Elliot Friedman joins us for Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view's better from here. We'll get to some other NHL news and notes in a second. Not to bury the lead, I guess we should ask right off the top, but give you a minute here. I know our listeners want to hear from you. We talked a lot about Don Cherry yesterday and the fallout. Where do you come in, Elliot, on the events of the last 48 hours or so?
Well, I know there were some people, you know, I didn't really realize it that much, but I guess there were some people who were critical of me because I didn't say anything right away. It's like, I'm never going to do it on Twitter. I just think Twitter is a bad medium for that. It leads to a lot of problems. I mean, look at what's going on there right now. It's crazy town.
Twitter didn't solve anything yesterday.
No, it sure didn't. So I think that's one thing I'd like to say. Like, it's never going to be on Twitter for me. And I haven't written my blog yet. It's coming out tomorrow. And today were the first two radio interviews I've done since then, since Toronto and in Vancouver. And I was going to wait till those opportunities. So that's that. That explains that. You know, like, honestly, guys, like, I'm in shock. Like, I can't believe it's happened. Like, I can't believe that... you know, we're at this point, you know, we called Ron and Don as like a kind of a joke. We called them the circus, especially when they travel. The circus is in town because it was a big deal. Those guys were larger than life. I won't work anyone. There's nobody I'm going to work with again in my career who commanded the attention and had the profile of Don Cherry. And we saw it everywhere we went. I have no idea how it's going to work on Saturday. But part of me is still incredulous at the fact that I'm going to do a Hockey Night in Canada show on a Saturday night without Don Cherry. It's very weird. You know, as for what happened, there were a few of us watching together, and you know, we were stunned when we saw what happened. We were astonished. We couldn't believe what occurred. And you know, the whole thing's sad. There's no winners, and the aftershocks of this are going to continue for some time. I felt horrible for my coworkers who were hurt by it. I felt horrible for viewers who felt targeted. You know, hockey is supposed to be an inclusive thing, and people obviously felt excluded. I felt terrible for them. I hate what's happening out on social media, and it's not ending anytime soon. And I feel terrible for Ron, and I feel terrible for any career that ends that way. I'm a big believer in there, but for the grace of God, go I. That I don't like to laugh at people who do poorly. I don't like to kick people when they're down because I've been down in my broadcasting career and I know what that feels like. And, you know, I just think the whole situation is sad. I wished it never happened. I wish that I didn't have to see some of my coworkers that upset. I know how people, sad. I saw your tweet. I don't think anybody should have to feel excluded that way. I mean, the whole thing is just really, really sad.
Well, that's how I felt. It's sad because it's one of those moments where now people are digging in on either side. And like you mentioned, we're not going to get past this in a week or two. And those who are going to be on either side of the debate are going to hold on to it. But hey, I mean, I think you said it well, and we can go into circles on this. But I do want to get into something you tweeted when it comes to Ilya Kovalchuk. Because I find this...
That's a tweet... That's something I'll do on Twitter.
Right, exactly. No, and that's exactly it. Because honestly, like, we can sit here and talk about this and go in circles. We spent so much time on it yesterday, and everything that has been said has been already said, and there's nothing else we can really add on to it. But on Ilya Kovalchuk, this one's really interesting to me because we kind of knew things were on the outs last year, and then this year with Todd McLennan, the hope was maybe they figure it out. The question I have is anybody going to be making that phone call for Ilya Kovalchuk?
Well, I have to suspect that, I suspect, they've been trying to trade him for some time now, going back to last year. They just have to know that the market is just not there. The other thing that complicates this is that Kovalchuk has a bonus. Like, if you go to Cap Friendly or Puckpedia, whichever site you use, there are signing bonus amounts. Well, Kovalchuk's is a little different in the sense that his part of his signing bonus is due on December 15th. Not all of it was paid in July. So, that is a bit of a hurdle here in this situation too. But I just think that they couldn't move him. They know that there wasn't a market out there. And, I will say that someone had said to me last week that the Kings might be up to something when they get home. And we already know they've benched Tyler Toffoli for a game. Then they moved him up to the first line. And somebody said to me that they believe there was a chance that there would be more people taken out of the lineup once they got back, which is now where they are. They're playing at home tonight. Now, I don't know if that person felt that this was going to happen, but obviously that's a big move, and they're turning the team over to their kids. And I think the biggest question now is, I wonder if what they're trying to do is see if Kovalchuk can get a KHL deal. And a big enough deal that it would, would it be something that would make Kovalchuk break his NHL contract, like terminate it willingly, to go take money that might be overseas? That's a possibility, I guess.
Well, I find that to be super fascinating, the terminate the contract one, because you can look at it different ways. I mean, Luongo retires and there's cap recapture and a player decides to leave. And I know people look at Louis Erik. What if he gets to the point and he doesn't want to play here anymore? And could you see that happen too with Louis? I know he gets back into the lineup tonight, but from what I've heard too, I know he's getting really frustrated with the situation. And when Roussel comes back, Froelich comes back, is that a avenue that potentially could happen for a player like him as well that decides to maybe just go to Europe for the final year or two?
Well, the question is, I would think the only way that Louis Erickson would agree to that, and I think it's the only way that Ilya Kovalchuk would agree to that, is if he knows there's a contract overseas for him that would make him want to do it. Like, Kovalchuk is one of the biggest Russian stars around. You know that there will be interest. The question will be, is it interest at a level that will make him agree to leave? But, is there going to be a team somewhere overseas that's going to pay Louis Erickson at least that amount of money or close enough to it that he's going to be willing to go away? And, I think that's what it comes down to, guys, is do you see that opportunity? I think there will be an opportunity for Kovalchuk. I just don't know the number. Do you see a similar opportunity for Erickson?
Elliot Friedman joins us for Maui Jim Sunglasses. The view's better from here. It is Sportsnet 650 on a game day. Canucks and Preds, the pregame show, about an hour away. About a year ago, Jim Lights called out the Dallas Stars. Like, he went nuclear on them. And,
yes, he did.
And I don't know if it worked per se, but they certainly played better after that and were within a goal of going to the Eastern Conference Final. Well, it wasn't quite the same this week from Jim Montgomery, but they're kind of doing it again, aren't they? Are you surprised that we've gotten to this point again of calling out the Stars of the Stars?
Well, I was. I have to tell you I was. And, Andrew, I decided to do actual research today. I spoke to Jim Montgomery, and then later I spoke to Jamie Benn. And Jim Montgomery is if you've been following the story and the Stars are in Calgary, he said he apologized to his players before their practice today and apologized for singling them out. And, you know, I asked Jamie Benn, is it the same as last year to you? And he said, no, it wasn't. And my actual line was, what would you say to everybody on the outside like me, who to them it looks like you did this again? He said, chill. He said, it's not the same thing. And I'll tell you this, he believes they're better. And, you know, one of the things that happened is they started poorly, but that loss was, I think they're 7-1-1 in their last 9 games. I may have that wrong, but they've been really good. And he thinks that, look, he just said, look, like, I'm being held accountable. I can deal with that. It's not comparable to last year, and I think we're getting better. But I think what it does have to you, Andrew, show to you, Andrew, is the amount of pressure that's on that organization to do well. I think there is an expectation of a lot this year, and I think that's where this comes from.
Elliot Friedman, 31 Thoughts, which will be out tomorrow.
Yes, I'm writing it right now, as a matter of fact.
All right. Well, hey, we appreciate the time as always.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great week. Enjoy the Predators game tonight. And don't freak out.